This is episode 11 with Channel 10 TV host and presenter, an absolute legend of a bloke, Walt Collins. G'day everyone and welcome to The Blokecast. I am your host, Brendan Hardman, and each week we bring you an inspirational guest or message to help you blokes out there live a holistically healthy lifestyle. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are around the world, and let's get stuck in. This episode's quote comes from The Rock, Dwayne Johnson. All successes begin with self-discipline. It starts with you. I am so pumped to bring you this incredible bloke and this incredible episode. Today we have Walt Collins, who is one of Australia's most wanted lifestyle presenters at the moment. He's currently the host of three Channel 10 TV series, and they are Healthy Homes Australia, Animal Extra, and Buy to Build. He is a carpenter by trade, a media commentator, an influencer, and a bloody good bloke, even if he does drive a Ford. In this episode, we'll discuss something that Walt is really passionate about and isn't discussed very often within the world of blokes, and that is body image. Body image for males can be just as big as an issue as it is for females. Yet why do we never discuss it? When if you look at the statistics, 40% of people with binge eating disorders are blokes. 25% of people with anorexia, nervosa, or bulimia are blokes. 45% of blokes are unhappy with their bodies, and 25% of blokes in a healthy weight range believe they are fat. Now, although I would never say that the issue is higher in men than it is in women, because that simply isn't true, I believe the issues are certainly underreported in men, and this is due to the stigmas and the shame that we hold ourselves to. I'm one of these blokes that does that. We have an awesome episode coming up, but first, I want to give a shout out to those that are leaving reviews on our iTunes. If you want to be featured in some of our upcoming episodes, then all you need to do is jump onto iTunes and give us a rating and give us a review. The first of this week's legends is McQuiggan13. Now, he's given me a 5-star review, so thank you straight away. He says, "This is going to help so many men, young and old. Awesome work." Thanks, mate. I really appreciate the support you're giving there, McQuiggan13. And I'm so glad that you're getting something out of this podcast. And next one is from Foy Rowe, who's also given us a 5-star review. He says, "A great, open and honest discussion with some hard-hitting facts. Normalizing these discussions and emotions will assist many individuals overcome the stigma surrounding mental health. Great work." Mate, really appreciate you giving us a shout out there, and I really appreciate the comments that you've left on here, and I hope you keep listening in the future. Our last one comes from, and I hope I get this right, because there's that many of these in a row that you'll understand when I read it that it confused me when I was trying to get it together. So it's from KLKLKLKLKLKLKLKKK. Interesting name. This person has given us a 1-star review, which is fine. They have said, "What is with language? ? You wish for people to tune in. It also starts with the way you speak." And no, just for the record, I did not exaggerate the bad grammar. That's how it came out. What I'll say is, firstly, I'm sorry if you don't like the swearing, and I hope it didn't offend you. However, it does have a big explicit sign on it. So if you want to listen to podcasts that don't have swearing in it, then look for those without the explicit sign on it, and you will get a podcast with no swearing in it. I do thank you for your comment. However, I'm not going to alter that. And something that's really important to me is that I come across here as myself, that I'm natural and I'm raw and I'm upfront as to who I am. So thanks for the comment, and I really appreciate your feedback. And I hope you do find a podcast that doesn't have some swearing in it. Thank you everyone for leaving your comments. If you want to be featured in an episode, jump onto iTunes, give us a rating, give us a review. It helps us grow this podcast and reach so many more people, more than you can imagine. So please get out there and jump on and give us a review. We have a great episode coming up, a great topic that we're going to discuss with a legend of a bloke. So as always, let's get stuck in. All right, everyone, welcome to the Blowcast. This is episode 11. Please, everyone, welcome Walt Collins, mate. Thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on here. I know how busy you are at the moment with all the filming and the production that you're doing. So I really do appreciate it, mate. Thanks,
Heaps. Hey, mate. Yeah, my absolute pleasure. It's great to have a chat to you and great to get involved.
Oh, it's fantastic, mate. I think you got such a good story. We're just talking off air then about how important this idea of body image is in males these days. And I just think the content we're about to give people is going to be really helpful.
I think so. I mean, look, it was a stage in my life that I went through about body image and things, you know, and I wrote this blog, which kind of went viral about it. And it was really innocent, you know, just real heartfelt stuff I was writing, which, you know, I don't have a great body by any means, you know, like I'm not a fitness influencer or anything like that.
Mate, you could be with a body like yours. I've seen the photos of you without a shirt on. So,
mate, I don't have abs, you know, I've a bit of a pot, but, you know, I've worked hard to put size on all the important t-shirt muscles that make you look good in a t-shirt. But, and I did that out of pressure because as a kid, I was skinny as all hell, you know, like yeah, I was a little skinny runt, and I grew up under a single parent family, a mum, you know, dad was around, but he wasn't really active, but he was around at weekends and stuff and was great, you know, but mum brought me up and, you know, there wasn't much influence there to say, you know, you need to go to the gym. And look, back in the 90s when I grew up, because, you know, I'm in my late 30s now, the gym wasn't really a thing in England where I grew up, you know, it wasn't a thing. Anyway, I moved to Australia and then, you know, I got fat.
Yeah.
So I went to the opposite, you know, I was 86, 87 kilos at one point. I'm only 5'9", so it's pretty big. And for me, and, you know, I was getting dizzy spells and I was going through this really bad time and I was, you know, feeling average. And I went to the doctors and they said, mate, your blood pressure is literally through the roof. You're going to have to go on tablets for the rest of your life, really. Yeah, wow. And I was like, holy shit, I'm like 28. I'm on blood pressure tablets. And the doctor looked me in the eye and said, you just need to lose some weight. Yeah. And it was a massive wake-up call. And so, you know, that was my entrance into fitness and I became, you know, quite obsessed with it. But it kind of went in phases. I'd go for 3 or 4 months, massive, you know, and then I'd burn out and I'd go and let it all go again and then try again.
Yeah.
But I'm to a point now, you know, where, you know, I'm pretty solid. I've got kind of rugby build, I guess, going on, I'm told, and at the gym 4 or 5 times a week and I eat pretty good and I'm on TV every weekend. So you have to look a bit, you know, like in shape at least.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely find that I struggle with the something that I found, I guess, that I kind of struggle with over the years has been, whilst I was in the army, it was easy because you exercise every day, you're eating pretty good, you're burning a lot of calories. So it's not really that much of an issue. It's when you get out, it's especially with an injury, when you get out, that's kind of the problem. And, but I've found over the years that it's been consistency and it's been, you know, it's been routine. It's been able to apply something for a long period of time. And I'm like you at that beginning part where I'll do it for 3 months and I'll be like, fuck, like then I'll let it slip. And then I'll be like, oh shit, I'll put on that weight again. And then I've got to burn it off again. And so, yeah, I understand. I get that. Yeah. So when you work in the media environment, what is the pressure like for you on an everyday basis being on camera?
Well, it's you know, I'm certainly not a big name. Like, you know, I really want to just put that up front. Like, I'm a very small fish in a massive ocean. And, you know, my stuff's just, you know, kind of weekend, Saturday afternoon TV stuff. So, you know, I just want to put that.
Well, before we get stuck in that question, then, if you were going to give someone a 30-second rundown on what it is you do in the media.
Mm.
Tell me now.
You're going to put a timer on.
You can take 2 minutes if you want.
Well, I've worked in TV all of my life since I was a child. And more recently, it's always been behind the scenes except for, you know, a few little ventures to front of camera. But the last 5 years, I'm a Channel 10 TV host. So I host 3 of their shows. One of them is probably my most popular show, which is called Healthy Homes Australia, and that's on Channel 10 Saturday, you know, Saturday late afternoon. It's home garden lifestyle, building construction, and it's with the beautiful Danny Wales, who is a 2x contestant on The Block, so she's my co-host. Yep. So that's one show, and that's long running now. We're up to season 7 on that one, and then
I just saw that it got announced. Was it recently it got announced? You were going
Did we actually got 2 seasons this year, season 7 and 8, all in one year? But that's massive. You know, that runs itself, and that's what's kind of put me into the spotlight. And then another little show I do with my dog on Sunday mornings on Channel 10 is called Animal Extra, and that's another lifestyle series about living with and loving animals, but it's aimed at grown-ups. You know, there's no Ranger Stacey jumping around with a lizard in her teeth kind of stuff. It's just, and the third show I have on Channel 10 again is a show called Buy to Build. And this is I guess if you look at something like House Hunters or Location, Location, Location or Escape to the Country, it's kind of similar to that, but different. Yep. And I'll take a couple through 3 display homes every week and 2 land developments, and they've got to choose which one they want to buy. And there's all the kind of the drama that's associated with all of that. So Channel 10 have been really good to me. I'm very grateful for that, because those 3 activities have been life-changing for me, because, you know, all of a sudden they put you in the national spotlight and, you know, you get a profile, and like it or not, that's comes with it. And then that in turn comes with pressure to look good, and which is what we're talking about. You know, like when I've aged, you know, in 5 years, when I look back at where I was like, you know, even back 5 years ago, I was kind of skinny and, you know, and young looking and all the rest of it. And now I'm just like, oh God, it's what happens as you approach your late 30s, you know, you kind of plump out here and being on camera makes you look bloody fatter than you are. And I know that's a cliche, but it's true.
So how much of it is actually perceived pressure versus actual pressure? That's an interesting kind of way to look at it, is that how much are you putting on yourself versus how much is the network saying, and not necessarily Channel 10, we're talking about generic networks here, but how much is the network telling you, hey mate, you've got...
Well, you see, the network, nothing at all from the network. I mean, the most they've said to me when I first started was probably cover your tattoo up because I've got some stars, and don't wear anything with big prints on it. Otherwise, well, you know, you do what you want, you're your own man. The Channel 10 are really good like that. I mean, I've just got my half sleeve done. I'm sponsored by Plink, so I'll wear what I want, do what I want. And they are completely cool. Like, you know, the Channel 10 are not like the other networks. You don't have to be skinny or muscly or bronzed or whatever it is. You know, you're not a stick insect on there. So that's them. The real pressure I feel comes from your peers. So your little snide comments you get, which you feel, because you might get on social media, you know, when you start getting, you know, up to that sort of like 10, 15, 20,000 Instagram followers, you post a photo on there, or you have a show that goes to 250,000 people, and you've put in a bit of weight over winter and you're on telly, people go, well, we've podged out a bit. Well, paddocks, good paddocks there, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, whilst you just take it on the chin, it eats away. You're thinking, oh, you know, he's right. I do need to lose that. And then the annoying thing about this country is that when you do lose the weight and you get muscle and you're looking ripped on TV and you spent all summer, you know, like building and shredding and gym, you know, you get more likes and you get more followers and you get more and you get noticed more. And that's such, it pisses me off, but it's
true. It's good on one hand, but then annoying on the other, because then I guess that pressure is mounted, because you got more people following you now, and you got more people judging you and looking at you, and the society we live in with online trolls these days is simply that everyone wants to fucking complain about something. So
when you look at the evolution of people on TV just in the last probably 5 years alone, right? And because I'm an executive producer as well, so we make shows and I decide who goes on them and all that kind of stuff. Got lots of other shows, international shows, all this kind of stuff.
Yep.
You know, there's been a massive shift. So, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, you would not see a meathead on TV with tattoos and muscles and an open collared shirt and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Now, if you don't have that, you don't get on TV. Look at Married at First Sight on Channel 9. All the blokes there's not one overweight bloke. There's not one dad bod on there. They're all lean, muscular, extremely muscular, covered in tattoos, you know, perfect looking. So there's a real expectation with our culture now, as we head into more, towards more Americanism, where real people are not wanted on TV. You've got to look the part. And I was having this conversation with a couple of mates the other day. They're real. I mean, you know, the roids, you know, tattoos, they're good looking blokes. I mean, they ride Harleys and they just kill that masculinity thing. Mm. And they were just, we all agreed that unless you've got that rig going on, unless you're that, you're nothing these days in, if you want to be in that spotlight.
Yeah. If you want to be in the media, I guess. And then,
or even if you want to be an influencer, or if you want to be seen by years as being a leader, that's what it would be. And isn't that sad? That's really sad.
It is. Yeah, it is. And do you think, because everything, I believe everything is cyclic, like in life, like everything goes through cycles. And do you think that we'll eventually go back to having real people on TV again? Or do you think that this is going to stay, this is the way forward now for TV, is that it's going to stay with this aesthetic looking like?
I think we're into this one for a bit. I think we're actually only just starting now, because again, with Australian media is, you know, you can have as much talent, you know, like if, for example, me, you know, I've got professional TV presenter training from the BBC. I've lived and traveled around the world working in media, reporting, journalism, you know, blah-de-blah. Then along comes the reality TV kids who have spent 4 weeks on TV and all of a sudden they're getting the TV jobs. You know, it's really annoying because a lot of them don't have any talent at all. I've got no training, but they look pretty. They're skinny, they're bronze, they've got tattoos, they've got muscles, or whatever it might be, male or female. And they're the ones taking the gigs right now. So you're in for a long haul. There's no danger of the block going away or Married at First Sight. So all these reality kids are going to be hanging around for a while. So we're in for a long cycle of this.
Yeah. And so as a producer then, as to someone who's hiring and firing, I guess, hopefully not firing too many, but sometimes you might have to, but hiring and firing actors and putting people onto shows, how do you then feel as a producer, as the person who has to make that decision as to who's going on the show and who's not?
Well, you see, you're asking the wrong person because I'm a rebel. I've always done stuff my own way. I will never, ever, ever hire a stick and set girl that's got no talent, that looks pretty and stands there with doing the power diamond in front of her crotch. You know, I would never, there's people I want to name, but I can't because I'll be sued. Footballers' wives, you know, that kind of stuff. They do the weather. I would never hire those people because they have no soul, no personality, no drive, no talent. I will always hire the oddballs. I will always hire the people who are a little bit different, who have got an edge to them, who don't fit that bill. I will always hire them. But if you ask what's popular, then it is exactly those people we just spoke about.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I guess in the end for those, the bigger networks, it's just they've got to look at it as a business transaction in the end, the money in, money out kind of thing. So they've got to fill the bill with whoever sells the media.
It's pretty hypocritical, isn't it, of me when you think about it, because, you know, here I am on TV kind of, saying I need a good body and I try to work hard at that, try to look good on TV, yet I won't hire people who are only that, you know. So
I think this is different though. I think you hit a really good point there, because some people might sit there and say that, but I think in my eyes it's different. They're two different factors, because we can get into kind of your journey with your weight in a minute, but like yours, what surrounds you is that you had, I guess, an anxiety or an issue with the way that you looked or a self-image issue. And then you went about changing that for your own mental health. And so I think, yeah, I wouldn't see it as that you're hypocritical. I think you've worked pretty hard to get your own mental health back on track and get your own, I guess, your mindset right. Mm. So that you can be the best presenter that you can be. But,
I think you've actually just identified a really important part of what it is and why we're talking about this, because it's this whole, the two words mental health have, you know, they're kind of caked in, preconceived, I mean, it's almost like the wrong words to use, or maybe state of mind, because mental health's overused now. But, you know, when you think about physical fitness, good mental health comes with good physical fitness. And yes. And it does. And you can say anything you want that doesn't, but it does. And if you're feeling good and you're training and you're getting some progress, your brain is good, you've got endorphins and you feel like you can take on the world. And most men lack the tools inside their heads to be able to make those decisions to get fit and to get healthy. And the main factor is motivation. Yep. And if you can learn how to get a tool that teaches you motivation, and you can, anyone can, you know, it will change your life. And I've spoken to so many blokes who are my age, older, and they're like, oh, you know, just, I wish, but I just don't have time to go to the gym. It's just not my thing, you know, and it's just not, I'm happy with the way I am. But no, you're not. You're not happy with how you are. You look at men on TV, footballers, and they're your idols, and you think, fuck, I wish I'd have started the gym early.
But it's never
too late.
Yeah. I mean, I can attest as being one of those people. I look at myself in the mirror and I just think, fuck, like, I need to lose weight. Like, I need to look better. And it's not going to change anything, like, in my home life, I guess. Like, my wife isn't going to love me anymore or love me any less because of the weight that I am. It's me. It's self-image. You know, it's in my head. And I talk a lot about things being holistic, and everything you need to look at in terms of your mental health is holistic. Like, you're 100% right that mental health these days, when someone thinks about mental health, they think about someone who's depressed and is going to commit suicide. That's what they think about. They don't think about all the other things that come into it and all the other causes that come into it. And so, you know, you look at from a holistic approach, like, most people who go through some type of depressive thing in their life have some other factor that's contributed to that. It's not just the fact that they're depressed. You know, 90% of the time it's because of their physical health, or because they've had some other, like, something to do with their relationship breakdown. They've gone broke in their financial life. They've lost their job and got the sack. Like, there's so many other contributing things.
Yeah.
But physical health is one of these huge, like, the huge parts of it, that if you're not physically healthy. And it doesn't mean you need to be, like you said before, you don't have to be ripped and having a six pack and, you know, look aesthetically perfect, but it's just that you are living a healthy lifestyle. If you're not living that healthy lifestyle, then that is the first thing that's going to cause you to go into a depressive state.
Here on there is my main point of tonight, is that one of the most dangerous things to happen to our society was the marketing of diets and fat diets and this, that, and the other, because it is just and everything now has stemmed from that. Everything is a quick fix. A diet, it'll make you lose weight. Steroids, it'll make you build muscle quicker. You know, sunbeds, they'll make you tan quicker. All this bullshit has stemmed from a quick fix, which is a diet. It's the most dangerous thing to happen, because men will do a diet and they might lose a bit of weight and then they stop. So what we need to be teaching blokes is, look, if you don't want to, no worries, that's fine, don't. But if you want to try a different approach to life, a bit of fitness and a bit of nutrition from this day onwards going forwards will actually change your life long term, not just for 6 to 8 weeks while you're dieting. Yeah. It will actually, you know, if you make those changes as permanently as you can, then it will actually dramatically change your life forever.
Yeah. Diets, I'm with you there, because diets to me are like the lottery. Like, you know, there's such a high percentage. I don't know the percentage off the top of my head, but there's a high percentage of people who win the lottery that are broke within 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, it is exactly the same thing as a diet. Like, they're just my alarm's going off in my pocket. Hang on. Hi there. Turn that off. So it's exactly the same thing to me as a diet. There's someone will do something exactly like you say for 6 months, 12 months, 3 months, a month, like those hard cut diets that you can lose 30 kilos in a month and then look the best shape. And then they stop it and they eat the same amount of food and they put on weight. Like, then they stack it on as well. They don't put it on, they stack it on, because their body's been calorie deprived. And so what do you think is the stigma that really surrounds men and their body image?
Sex appeal. I think if you don't have a good body, you're not considered sexy, you know, by the opposite sex or the same sex or whatever it is. But I think the stigma is that you are lazy, that you can't be bothered, you're unmotivated, and you know, you're not a leader of the pack. You know, I'm a big believer in evolution. You know, like I have zero tolerance for religion, all that kind of stuff. And I look at when we were in packs, and I look at the way we lived as part of evolutionary trail. When you trace back, there's a pack leader, there's a group leader, there's a village tribe leader, there's a mayor of a town, there's a leader of a country. So, you know, we are designed to follow a leader. That yeah. leader traditionally would be strong. He would be the fittest, because he's fought his way to the top. So when you are not fit and healthy, or, and you don't have a great mindset, sometimes I believe that self-esteem stems from the evolutionary trait of going, well, what's the point of me trying to take this on, because I'm not as strong and as fit as him, you know, so I'll just follow and just be a sheep and just and be told what to do. You know, every man and every woman has the ability to lead and to be a leader in their own field. And, you know, being strong and physically fit and having a good body can help you have that mental, you know, capacity to do so. Yeah. I mean, look, here I am selling the virtues of having a great body and all that. I don't have a great frigging body myself, but I go to the gym, I train, I eat well. And with that, focus and discipline becomes clarity. And with that clarity becomes, you know, again, pure focus. And that has a knock-on effect in my relationships, with my work, and with my social life even.
Yeah. But it's like you said before, it's not necessarily about having that six pack. It's not necessarily about, you know, having 20 inch biceps and stuff like that. It's a really just is about being healthy. And
it's, you know, it's about showing yourself that you have a purpose every day. You're going to have your own power to yourself at the gym, and you know, I'm making progress. I'm adding to the beneficial health factor of my body. I'm extending my lifespan. I'm getting higher bone density to help me when I'm older. You know, it's all that kind of stuff, and it gives you a sense of purpose if you don't have one already.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think then, what's the key issue that prevents blokes from actually reaching out and or actually making a change in their life?
Time.
That is a good one.
Yeah, you ask anyone who doesn't have time, and you know what, they're absolutely right, because I know blokes that get up at 5 a.m., they start working on a building site or an office at 6 a.m., they finish probably 5 p.m., they go home and their wife's waiting for them to feed the kids because she's been home all day doing for it, you know, and then he's exhausted and he has to get up and do it all again. And where is the time to do that? And honestly, I don't know. I have the answer to that. But yeah. I just feel like if you don't have half an hour to 40 minutes in your day where you can go for a run, you go for a fast walk, or you can just, you know, if you live close to your gym, go on the way home from work, you've got to write it into your lifestyle from the start. Because I'll use an example, like, so I have had a busy office with five or six people working, they're all waiting for me for an answer. You know, we've got five TV shows on the go, and I'm also working as a carpenter, and everything's going on like it's crazy. And they said to me, what do you mean you're going to the gym? I said, well, I need to go to the gym for an hour. I said, but we've got so much work to do. You can't just, we need to tell, you know, I said, look, if I don't have the gym, we don't have all of this. You don't have your jobs, and we don't have that capacity to be able to process all of this information, all this stress, and all this work. Mm. It's my way of balancing the stress with a release sort of thing.
Yeah. So when did you actually realize, when was the point, I think you, that you actually sat down and said, all right, I need to make a change in my lifestyle here?
Yeah, 2009, I think it was, when I had a business out of Ballarat and had a couple of clients go bankrupt on me. And I was placing TV ads on TV for them. And the ads had been on, but they didn't pay me like almost like at a 50 grand each. And I still had to pay that money to the TV stations. So I was like in a really bad financial position, made some bad business decisions. And all of a sudden I was like 106 grand in debt. And I was just like in a mess. I was fat. I was stressed. I was, you know, contemplating some easy way out to get out of the mess I was in, because it was, you know, people knocking on my door looking for money. court orders, bankruptcy notices. It was an absolute mess. And all the friends I thought I had suddenly disappeared. You know, it was like three friends that brought bags of shopping around for me, you know, so I could eat and stuff. Nightmare time. That went on for years. But at that time, the doctor said to me, looked at me and said, you know, you're not sleeping. You're overweight, your blood pressure's through the roof. You know, you're going to have a stroke in a couple of years and you'll be disabled or you might be dead. So it's up to you, mate. What do you want to do with that information? We'll put you on tablets. And it was that wake up call. I was like, no matter what's going on, no matter how stressed and everything that I thought I was at the time, I started going to the gym and I started training with mates that were training. And it just totally changed my life around because I got up in the morning and I had a purpose. I'm like, no, I'm going to go to the gym. Nothing else matters for the hour. I'm here. I'm present. Got to go to the gym. And when I came from that gym, I felt buzzed. I was like, fucking bring your letters on, bring your phone calls on, come and knock on my door and see what happens. You know, and I just got this swagger about me. And with that swagger, opportunities started coming to make money again, to pay things back. And I paid everyone back. And, you know, there's just an air of leadership and you're owning your own universe happens when you're fit and healthy, you know?
Yeah. So then, so you're obviously talking then, so you started a routine, you touched on it there, you started a routine with your physical fitness by going to the gym. And I remember you saying before that you now go between 4 and 5 times a week. What do you do with your nutrition side of things? How does that work for you?
God, mate, that's all over the place. I'm going to be honest with you because, you know, I'd love to be able to say to you, oh, yeah, bro, you know, it's tuna and fish and it's protein, all that. Food's all over the joint. I love food. You know, I kind of go to the gym so I can eat what I want. You know, like I'll eat for breakfast. I try and keep it legit, keep it in line. But for breakfast, I'll have, you know, like a cup of oats with some protein powder, a banana and some water, and I'll blitz it in my little blender and I'll drink that like cold sick every morning. And then I'll have a little snack, a couple of boiled eggs about, you know, 10:30. Lunch, I'll have whatever, some carbs like rice and a bit of chicken, some food. I might go to Macca's and get a burger, whatever. It depends what I'm doing, what mood I'm in. And then tea, you know, me and my other half, we'll look at each other and go, you know, we live in Richmond.
Yeah.
You know, Melbourne entertainment.
A lot of food.
And here we are cooking friggin' chicken breasts on the barbecue and having a bit of salad with it. But if we don't do that, we get fat. So that's the nutrition, but I just think that's all got to be in moderation, absolutely in moderation. You know, people that stick to those amazing like food plans and meal plans, kudos to them because I can't.
Yeah, I've been trying out intermittent fasting for the past month or so.
How's that going? I know a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, I've definitely lost weight, like definitely hands down lost weight, and I don't find it hard to. I guess stay within the routine of fasting. So like having that discipline to not eat outside of your eating hours. However, it's like you said before, it's time. So my eating hours are from 11 AM till 7 PM and I don't get home from work until probably like 6:10 normally at night. So we've got, you know, but if I just
rape that kitchen as soon as you get home.
Yeah, it's just pretty much what happens, bro. And then, but if I change it either way, then I'm, you know, I'm going too long without food in the mornings after I wake up, and then I'm, or if I go back the other way, then I don't have enough time to eat when I get home, and so that is challenging. So I'm, you know, I'm doing 8 hours eating, and the rest is. Whatever it is, 16 hours fasting at the moment. I might, you know, just switch it to 9 hours eating and 15 hours fasting or something like that.
Do you know what I have done that's taken down the swelling in like, because I've always got to feel like I've got a bloated belly. I've actually stopped for 3 weeks now, like having dairy. So I used to have 3 lattes a day, like coffee's my little, you know, best friend. I would get going in the morning. I've always had them with milk. I've replaced that with almond milk. And I know that makes me like a complete wanker, but...
My wife's a vegan, mate. So.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, it's been really good. So I've had almond milk and I've just cut down on yogurts and things like that. And I feel like my energy levels are just getting... I was feeling a bit groggy. I'm not feeling as bloated. I'm not farting as much. I feel like it's made a little bit of difference. But then again, I kind of worried about the calcium intake a little bit too, you know. So... I'm not too sure. I just did it as a bit of a trial and it seems to be working out.
I mean, in the end, if you enjoy it, you can always take a calcium supplement. You're not going to get the most as much as you would out of milk, but you can at least get some calcium into your body, I guess.
You know what's been really good for me, and I don't know how you feel about this, but it's not nutrition wise, but I've been learning to meditate.
Oh man, I was gonna chime in on this as well, but yeah, no, go. You tell me, mate.
I'm sure it sounds like you tried it, but I mean, I repeat, I'm not spiritual. I don't believe in anything like that. But there's been something really calming about learning how to just meditate. I downloaded the app Calm, and there's a few different ones. You know?
Yeah, there's some great ones out there.
And it's just like 12 minutes, and it actually makes me fall asleep and have a little afternoon nap. But it just turns everything off and teaches you to control your brain, which is like the biggest, heaviest, you know, most complex organ in your body. And it's been bloody brilliant. That's been really good.
Yeah. I think you're preaching to the choir here, man. Meditation is huge, and a lot of the issue is that a lot of blokes look at it and they're like, that's spiritual. That's to be honest, that's girly. Like, they associate it with doing Pilates or doing yoga, which I actually recommend you should do. You do two yoga classes a week or two Pilates classes a week, and I guarantee it will change your life, and it will change, especially if you walk home with pain and you're always in pain.
Just
do Pilates or yoga twice a week and I guarantee you your life will be different. But yeah, they look at that and they find that they just look at it and they're just like, no, that's not for me. But there's so many benefits for it. And, you know, the meditation ties in with sleep. Sleep is huge when it comes to your mental health, and it's huge when it comes to your weight as well, and managing your weight. Mm. And then having a good sleep pattern, and then your sleep ties into your nutrition, and also into your physical training, and so, you know, it's all linked. It's all that holistic approach. And so,
you know, is the way I've combated, like, my tradie mates that have all gone, or meditation, you big flog.
Yeah.
Even when you're laid in bed at night and you can't sleep, and you're really frigging annoyed, and your brain's getting circles thinking about quotes, jobs, the argument you've just had with your missus, or whatever it might be. Imagine being able to think yourself to sleep through that just by controlling your brain. That's as simple as it is, and it's so effective. Like, it's been really good for me.
Yep. And it's something that I kind of I guess, because I've been quite not preaching, but I've been pushing meditation for a long time for a few years now to people, but something I've learned recently is that, well, I've known for a long time, but I've learned a way to get around it, is that a lot of men definitely struggle to get into the meditative state and be able to get their minds prepare their minds correctly so that they can meditate. So a great trick that you can do is, and I do this every day. This is a routine of mine, and I set so I get up around about 5:30, 5:45 in the morning at the moment, and I, you know, have a shower and that kind of stuff. My first alarm on my phone goes off at 6:30, and at 6:30 I stop whatever I'm doing and I close my eyes and I take 5 deep breaths, and it's in the big diaphragm breath, my big breath, and so. You just feel, and afterwards you just, that last breath, you really release, you feel like you're releasing energy from your body. What it allows you to do is allows you to get into a really, really small meditative state. And it only lasts for about, the breathing only lasts for about, 20 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
But what it does is it allows you to get into a little meditative state. And get your brain into a calm state. And then I set my alarm every 3 hours. So 6:30, 9:30, 12:30, 3:30, et cetera, until 9:30 at night. Because I'm generally going to bed around 9:30 at night. And generally I'm in bed by 9:30, unless I'm editing or something like that. But so I like to think that last one is when I'm in bed and I'm actually closed my eyes in bed and I'm doing that breathing exercise right before I go to sleep.
Jeez, you're good. Doing it 3 times a day.
Well, that's it works out to be, I think, about 6 or 7 times a day you're actually doing that breathing thing. Yeah. It's like 2 minutes of your life. Like, that's it.
I say to people that don't know how to say, I can't meditate, is, well, actually, you've ever driven a car and you've driven somewhere and you sort of get there, you think, I've actually got no friggin' idea where I've just driven. I just feel like, sometimes you're not aware of you've actually driven there, you sort of like zone out a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a very baseline meditation, I reckon.
Oh, definitely. And your brain is your brain is like any other thing within your body. You can train your brain to do anything you want. You've just got to be willing to do it.
Yeah.
You'll be willing to put in the hours. It's like learning how to play tennis. You gotta be, it's like driving a manual car, you know, being able to change the gears without thinking. That's your brain is exactly the same. So you've got to be able to learn to be able to do that. And yeah, so meditation, huge on, mate. I wholeheartedly agree with it.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant that you brought it up because it ties in perfectly with this, I get. And I know you're running out of time, so.
That's all right, I've got 5 minutes, no worries.
So what do you think is some advice for blokes out there that are struggling at the moment? What would your best advice be for people who are going through this?
You know, well, it depends if you're talking fitness or mental health or whatever it is, because I'm, you know, at the moment going through a bit of a crisis with a good mate of mine that has just lost everything recently and has been a lot of pain and got addicted to opioids and then addicted to coke, and then his wife left him and she's blocking the kids from him now, and his life is spiraling out of control. It's really hard to watch, and no one's listening to him.
Yes.
Services aren't listening to him. Professional doctors and people aren't listening to him. It's like, well, you know, you've got to get on with it, mate. You've got to get yourself together and get going. And, you know, only yesterday I had threats of suicide from him. And I had to try and track him down, talk to him, trying to get him to message me back. And that if anyone could take anything home from anything we've spoken about tonight, is that, you know, whilst you think, we all think that we're real strong and we've got stable lives and, you know, we're bloody, you know, we're none of this fancy pantsy, you know, depression bullshit, blah, blah, blah. Let me promise you this. All of us are a slither away from mental torture, from a breakdown, from a life-changing event that may change our life forever. It is so delicate. And everything you know with your world can be so easily turned upside down by something you never fucking saw coming. And that, you know, you've got to reach out to people. And if this bloke didn't reach out to me yesterday and message me, albeit like a goodbye, that I saw that as a glimmer of hope and a reaching out that he wasn't quite going to do it. And that's probably saved his life. I didn't. Yep. He did. He saved his own life by reaching out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, out of all that, health and fitness aside, all that kind of stuff, just look out for each other and talk. There's nothing wrong. Even if you're feeling shit, no one probably can help you get out of the scenario that you're in. But at least talk about it and get a different point of view on it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're 100% right, mate. 100%. It all starts with really taking that ownership of that there is an issue in your life, and then being able to actually go through the process where you can start talking about it and start, you know, and there's so many studies now, I don't want to rabbit on too much about this, but there's so many issues now with blokes, so many barriers to them going to get help. And one of the big barriers is that they can't relate to psychologists, psychiatrists, especially the guys from the blue collar network, like they don't see them as living the same life, you know, as going through what they've been through. But there is such a huge benefit to having a peer group that sticks together and helps each other. So looking out for your mates, like you say there, but having that peer group that you can bounce things off, that have similar experiences to you, that have gone through similar, I guess, periods of their life to you, and how they dealt with it, is huge. Like there's so many benefits to it. So yeah, I think you're spot on there when you say that you got to look after your mate and you got to, you know, get out there and help each other, because that's what it all comes down to in the end. It's not going to be a psych that pulls you back from the edge. It's going to be you, and it's going to be, you know, those close around you that really do it.
Yeah, that's right. And if you do get the opportunity, embark on some kind of self-empowerment through fitness and through health and all that kind of stuff, because that can have dramatic impacts on your life as well, you know. And you know, we live in a country where it's kind of cool and we're conditioned to go, no, she'll be all right, you know, don't worry about it, no, there's no point talking the rest of it. But you know, you're more of a man if you own your shit, you step up to your shit, you confront your shit, and you deal with your shit, you know, to that is more masculine, that is more grown up, that is more leader, that is more boss man, whatever you want to call it. Any great leader, any great influencer, any great man of war throughout the history has owned their own shit and faced it and not just pretended it's not there, you know.
Yeah, 100%, mate. And so if people wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way that they can do that to say either thank you or to follow you?
The usual things. I'm on Instagram, on Facebook. You know, you could just do a search for Walt Collins. Do a Google search, Walt Collins Channel 10, whatever. You'll find all links here, there, and everywhere. And I know I always make sure I answer people's questions. Where a couple of people have reached out to me and they've been in crisis and had a chat to them, all that kind of stuff. And you know, it's we have a responsibility to look after each other.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And what have you got any goals now that you set yourself? Now that you've been through this journey, and you're on the right path, or you're on a bloody good path. Because, like I said, I've seen you without your shirt on. You posted that photo, and mate, you're looking good. So, what do you think is next for you?
Well, nothing really. Just kind of fight off, you know, the dad bod that sort of like hits you when you get 30s. I think for me, no. I mean, physically, I'd like to just, you know, stay fit, get fitter. There's no end goal for me. There's no, you know, there's no real goal I have in mind for that. And that's something I think is really important. You know, I don't have a finish line. It's just I want to make it this forever and be healthy, you know, and fit and have a decent body in summer to take my T-shirt off, which I don't very often because I'm still... I mean, it's a whole nother subject, isn't it? Body dysmorphia, mate. I mean, God, I still don't look at myself and think, you know,
back on again.
I still see on TV, and I'm thinking, fuck, I'm fat. Like a turkey neck going on. What's going on? That thing, you know, like the rest of it. But but personal goals, you know, I think I'm just striving for some financial stability like we all are, and just to be happy and modest and keep going.
That's it, mate. That's it. And then the last question I guess I can't ask every guest that comes on is, what does being a healthy bloke mean to you?
I think it's an all round, approach, really. I mean, we named our TV show Healthy Homes Australia, and it doesn't mean that the stuff we have in there is healthy. We've had some of the most toxic products in the world, but it means balance. And I think healthy to me means balance, and balanced mental state, balanced food, balanced health and fitness, a balanced lifestyle, a work and life and play balance. Healthy to me is if you've got a good balance on all of those, you're doing bloody well.
Oh, mate, that's unreal. That is awesome, mate. Mate, I know you've got to take off. You're out to dinner tonight. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on. I really do appreciate it, mate. And thank you for connecting as well. Like I just feel like we're, you know, I really actually enjoy a lot of the content you put out, and I definitely have read your blog. I've seen your viral video. We didn't get touch on that, but I have seen, if anyone's looking.
Oh, the cat fence
video. The cat fence video. I actually watched that years ago, and I didn't even know it was you.
So annoying. You do all this bloody amazing work hosting TV shows and the rest of it. The thing that gets you 98 million views is a bloody cat fence.
I tagged my wife in it. We've got 5 cats. So I tagged my wife in that. And I was like, this is a way we can let the cats out. But, mate, I really do appreciate you coming on. And I think the message that you're giving is unreal, mate. And I think the journey you've been on is unreal. And I can't wait to see where it's going in the future.
Thanks, Brendan. I appreciate it, mate. Keep up the good work yourself.
Thanks, mate. I really appreciate it. All right, that is a wrap for this week's episode, and I am stoked with the way it came out. This is another one of those episodes which is going to be clean cut. There'll be no editing. Everything will be just chucked up from this episode straight up there. That's how happy I am with the interview that I had with Walt. Some of the things he comes across with, the topics that we talk about there are just so hard hitting, and the lessons that he gave us that he's taken away from his life is truly incredible. I'm so happy that we got to actually do this recording. I'm very grateful for Walt for sitting down with me and giving me the time to interview him. And I can't wait to get stuck into next week's episode. As we said at the beginning of the podcast, we're trying to grow this. We're trying to make this bigger. We're trying to impact more people. To do that, we need to get in front of more people. And the way that we do this is simply by sharing, rating, and reviewing. So if you can share this podcast with someone that you think needs to hear this message, jump online to iTunes and give us a rating and a review. That would be great. Okay, I hope everyone has a banger of a week, and we'll catch you in the next episode. Cheers.